huge games right across different sports. Of course, Kerry FC are playing Cork City in their first game in Division 1 of the League of Ireland. League of Ireland gets underway tonight. Big night. There is, of course, huge games in the ladies and men's Gaelic football national leagues. We have Kerry and Mayo on Sunday in Fitzgerald Stadium. We have Kerry and Mayo tomorrow night in Austin Stack Park under lights. A hugely anticipated game in Division 1 of the Ireland's National Football League. And a letter arrived in the door here to Radio Kerry, Killarney, during the week, which was hand-delivered. And on the letter, it had Mr. Ambrose O'Donovan, star sport commentator for Radio Kerry. So it doesn't get any better than that, really. I passed it on to Ambrose, and I was making the point there was no letter for Tim Moynihan. He thinks Ambrose wrote the letter to himself. But anyway, they'll be talking about that and other things tomorrow night from Austin Stack Park. So make sure to tune in for that. And all the coverage continues, the build-up today and tomorrow on Saturday Sport. And it's the sport that we're starting with on the programme this morning, because we have the Minister for State, the Department of Sport, Thomas Byrne, who is in Killarney to visit the headquarters of the department. Minister Byrne, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning, Jerry.
Now, Kerry and Mayo are taking place in, are taking, going into action, I should say, against each other in Austin Stack Park, a ground that has had redevelopment done in the last number of years to enable it to host the sort of big game that there will be tomorrow night. Kerry Mayo in the Ladies National League will be on in Fitzgerald Stadium. There is currently a plan to either redevelop or rebuild Fitzgerald Stadium. This comes in the context of the national debate that we've been having about sports capital funding and government's role in funding major projects. Some criticism that too many stadiums are being built in this country. I know you've been talking this week about the strong case that Dalymount Park has for its redevelopment and the need for that. What's your view at the moment on the overall argument and discussion of stadium funding in this country?
Well, can I just say that the reason I say that Dalymount Park feel they'll have a strong case in terms of Bohemians is that the government has already funded design work for the stadium. But that project, like every other project that will apply for large-scale funding, will have to go through a process and will have to be analysed in terms of how does it provide extra sporting facilities to communities? How does it ensure that we've gender equality? How does it ensure that there's increased participation in sport by people here as well? So it's in that context that I said that this week. But we will be opening a large-scale sports infrastructure fund relatively soon. And I will be inviting projects from all around the country, but they're going to have to meet all those tests and others as well that the application will put forward. And they're in relation to every project. There's a big hurdle to jump to get the sort of funding that some of these projects are looking for.
Do you have control over what the organisations themselves do, or is it down to themselves to work out whether they're going to get themselves into debt from these projects?
Well, you see, that's a key issue, because the key issue for us is deliverability. We had a large-scale fund launched just before the last election, and quite frankly, very few of those projects have got off the ground so far. There's only really three of them completed, and there's maybe a half a dozen underway. So that has been difficult, and part of the problem is deliverability. Part of the problem is the capacity of some of the sporting organisations to actually deliver projects like this. And that's why I think local authorities are probably better placed than some sporting organisations to deliver these projects. They have their own base, they have their own revenue, they have their own agendas, and also they're looking not just at one sport but at multi-sports as well. So while we do accept and will accept applications from sporting organisations, I think local authorities certainly are, in principle, should be in a better place to actually deliver these projects.
And is that the model going forward? Is that what the government would like to see? Because an argument is made in the context of Páirc Uí Chaoimh and the debate over that and what it means for Cork GAA and the debt saddled, some other counties in particular difficulty as well, that the idea of 20, 30,000, 40,000 seater stadiums dotted all over the country would make more sense if every sport, if they were municipal stadiums.
Well,
that's easier said than going now to organise, I know.
Well, we're not ruling out any project, but there's no doubt that municipal facilities are certainly the way to go, and multi-sport facilities, and whether that's stadiums or whether that's playing facilities, we want to see these used on a regular basis. In terms of stadiums, like, you have to start considering the value for money in respect of how many games would actually be played in a particular stadium. You have to make sure that men and women have similar access, and by the way, that's a new rule that I brought in as Minister for Sport, that we won't give a single penny to any sports facility where men and women don't have similar access. And that's at every level of sports grants, not just the big ones. That has to be the case. And for the big projects, they'll have to publish their policy as to how they actually implement that. So that's really, really important. But projects where there are multi-sports, where there's more than one sport, certainly will get better consideration, because if the government is investing a huge amount of money, we want to make sure that there's more and more people participating in sports. And I suppose that's what our main objective is.
Okay. And apologies, I had Kerry and Mayo ladies little National Football League game down for Sunday. It is, of course, tomorrow afternoon at Fitzgerald Stadium. And speaking of that, Minister, the women's and the men's game, some discussion in this county here about why the ladies game isn't on before the men's game in Aston Stack Park. Now, you can still go to both because of the timing of it. That opens up, I suppose, the other debate about the amalgamation of ladies football, Camogie and the GAA, with regards to, let's say, future plans for stadiums. Would that square that circle, I suppose, if they were all one organisation?
I'm meeting the Kerry County Board today, but I've brought in a new kind of practice where I only meet county boards where all three codes are with me in the room together, and we meet all of them together. And I think if GAA organisations are coming with big proposals, I think they'd make a much stronger case if they came together with the three county boards. That has happened in Wexford, where the GAA, the Ladies Football and Camogie have come together in a centre of excellence and have a full agreement on it. And I think that's the way it's going to go. I'm not pushing the amalgamation. That's a matter for the organisations themselves, but I do welcome it and I support it. But in terms of funding, we certainly can't fund a facility where, like, for example, women don't get similar access, and that's not going to happen in future under government funding.
So anyone starting off new plans, you need to work this into your plan. You need
from the sports capital, from last year's sports capital, we brought in that rule. So any application that went in by last September for sports capital, if it's over 300, if it's over 200,000 in terms of a grant, they will have to publish a policy showing how men and women have similar access, and that needs to be to our satisfaction in the department. And I think that's very, very important, because I think it has been the case in some parts of the country that women haven't had the same access to certain sporting facilities, and the government's no longer going to fund that. That's just put it simply.
Can I ask you, Mr. Ryan, on this issue? I don't want to preempt what you'll say or what you'll be told. The County Board have argued, and they've done reports from EY on cost-benefit analysis for Fitzgerald Stadium. The number's 35 million, between 35 and 78 million, depending on a refurbishment rebuild. It certainly needs refurbishment at the very least. What's your overall view of the project, notwithstanding the test it would have to meet that you just talked about?
Well, look, I mean, I'll meet the three county boards this morning with Minister Foley, Deputy Griffin, and indeed Councillor Niall Keller in Killarney as well, who arranged the meeting. That's going to happen this morning. I think, to be fair to everybody, I think I need to listen to the proposals. I haven't met them yet. I know they met my predecessor, and that's reasonable. I'll meet them. But any application that goes in goes through an independent process, and that will happen over the coming weeks when we'll open the applications, and then they'll be assessed after that. And we want to make sure that we have as many quality sporting facilities around the country. We want to increase participation, and we want to ensure gender equality. And they're really, really important objectives. And I think, look, any proposal that brings that forward will be making a very, very strong case.
Okay. Minister, can I ask you on a separate issue? The political story of the week, the fallout still continuing. We're learning this morning RTE paid out €2.6 million in what's termed golden handshakes to executives during the reign of the last director general. We had that figure of €450,000 revealed at the Oireachtas Media Committee during the week. What do you say to people this morning who are, you know, constantly getting these stories of more and more extraordinary things that have happened over the years, and people are very frustrated, and to those particularly who are continuing to pay their licence fee, frustrated at looking at all that was done?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'd say about the licence fee is we've had some parties play acting by saying you don't have to pay it or you'll be let off. That's not going to happen. The licence fee is there for a very, very important reason. And I think that in the run-up to the elections and certain parties falling down in the polls, I mean, all these sort of things are going to be tried. They're not going to work. We need to have a proper process to make sure our public service broadcasting, and that includes the likes of Radio Kerry as well, the services that you're providing in your region, that, you know, you're funded as well as your commercial mandate, and that we have a national broadcaster too. It's a hallmark of a democracy. But the flip side for that is that the public are entitled to accountability. The public is entitled to transparency. And I think we do need a lot more transparency in terms of what happened here. And that's the easiest way to deal with this. I mean, I don't think we should be pillaring any individual people. I don't think that's what we need. What we need is full transparency, full accountability, and the Director General to give as much information as possible. And I think certainly in terms of any further redundancy payments, that there would be some kind of a public process. I'm not saying that individuals should be named as such, but that sums of money that are paid out certainly should be provided in annual reports and maybe to the Oireachtas Committee. I think that's very, very important, and there should be complete transparency around that. I think that's what we need to do. I know that the Director General is going for legal advice. He's in a difficult position in terms of what's happened maybe before him, or what's already happened, maybe was already done with legal advice. I don't know. But he's gone for more legal advice as to what more he can reveal to the Oireachtas Committee. And I think that's really important. And I want to pay tribute to the Oireachtas Committee as well, the two committees, the Media Committee under my colleague Niamh Smith and the PAC. I think they have done really good service to the state, because they have kept a steady hand. They haven't gone over the top, but they've got information that's really, really important for the public and done a good job. And their own powers as Oireachtas Committees are actually limited enough. We had a referendum back in 2011 where
and compatibility of witnesses
decided not to give them extra powers and all that. So within those confines of the Constitution, I think the committees have done a really, really good job.
Yeah, look, you criticise Sinn Féin there for their idea for the amnesty and for the immediate dropping of the licence and the secret funding, but are Sinn Féin, do they not have a point? Like, in the context of this, is the licence fee not dead or soon to die? And are we not in this situation because successive governments, of which Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil were part, failed to grasp the nettle on changing the licence fee to a broadcasting charge? I mean, 10 years ago, then Minister Alex White had a commission set up to look at a public service broadcasting charge. A year later, it was dropped, and every government since have steered well clear of it. And that's why, partly why we are where we are with this problem of funding RTE. In fairness to Sinn Féin,
I don't agree. I think we are where we are because of the scandal that erupted last summer, and there was precipitous.
Yeah, but long before that, there was recommendations. The future Media Commission, governments ran scared from this politically. Maybe because of water charges, but no government grasped it properly. And now we're doing it in a panic because it wasn't sorted out before now.
I don't think it's been done in a panic at all. I think we see the panic from the opposition, actually, in this case, quite frankly, where they've said not only would they abolish it, but that anyone who hasn't paid will get off and won't have to pay it. What about the vast majority of us who did
you
pay
it? You could argue they're affecting the reality. You could argue, and this week's news won't help anybody who wants to continue playing it, such as the level of anger out there amongst the public. Are they not just reflecting
that? I think it just speaks to where Sinn Féin are at. Like, if you don't, you know, comply with your legal duties, they'll let you off the hook. But the problem really is then,
that's not what they're saying, Minister. What they're saying is they're looking at the reality of the situation on the ground. I talk to ordinary people who abide by the law. 6 months ago, I spotted it. People said, that's it. And people who always stay within the law, I'm not paying my license. Reasonable people, such as the level of anger.
But most people have actually paid it. And what Sinn Féin is saying to most people is, haha, the ones who are clever enough not to pay it are going to get away with it. And I don't think that's sustainable, because if it'll be this issue this week, there'll be another drop in the polls, and they'll panic on some other issue and promise something else.
So you don't accept at all that the government and successive governments, including this one, failed to deal with the issue of the license?
I think it's been a major problem since last summer. I'm not saying the license is the be all and end all, but what I am saying is that when there's legal obligations, and when the vast majority of people in this society pay their way and comply with their legal obligations, I think it's wrong for a major party, as a result of an opinion poll drop, to say to those who haven't complied with the legal obligations, you're all right, vote for us and we'll let you off. That's wrong, because that's this week. Because it's a big issue. It'll be another issue in a fortnight, I guarantee you. It's the way they operate. Okay. And I think what we need is a considered approach to this. And I think that's what the government's doing.
Let me ask this, in the light of that considered approach, are we going to get a decision before the end of this term of government as to what will happen with the licence fee or a new broadcasting charge?
Absolutely no doubt about that. And I know that Minister Martin is looking for a decision sooner than that, and it's under consideration by the government. But whatever decision you come to on this, I guarantee you, no matter what decision we come to, there will be uproar from the opposition. They will not attempt to forge any type of national consensus on this, which is what we need, because our broadcasters are absolutely essential to our democracy, and we should be trying to come to a national consensus.
And RTE is struggling at the moment. They need money. There are repeats on TV from last year's quiz shows. it's starting to wither on the vine. If it does, and I know it got a bailout, but if there isn't certainty about the future, there's all sorts of problems down the line.
And I think the government is working to that, but by simply saying in a Dáil motion this week, oh, we'll just pay for it with general taxation, I mean, that's not sustainable either, because that comes off a hospital or schools or something else. So we have to think about this very carefully to make sure we get it right, and not just to rush into the Dáil with literally a half-baked proposal.
Okay, Minister for Sport, Thomas Byrne, thanks very much for talking to us on the programme this morning. That's Minister for State Department of Sport, Thomas Byrne, talking about the issue of the sports funding, capital grants. Interesting points he made about the model for the future and going forward for sports projects in terms of sports capital funding, the inclusion of women. He wants to see all organisations getting together, making sure that, you know, municipal stadiums are the way to go as well, and multi-sport facilities are the direction of travel. If you have a view on that, and what does that say, and what does that do in terms of, I suppose, Fitzgerald Stadium and the wider context of the amalgamation of ladies, football, Camogie, and the men's side of Gaelic Games with regards to that, even in the context of applying for funding now for a stadium that needs improvement, needs refurbishment at the very least. Give us your views on that. Listener gets in touch this morning. John, a retired Garda. The Garda vote against the Commissioner's attendance at their annual conference is a sad reflection on the very low morale in an Garda Síochána. The initial appointment, in my opinion, was ill-judged. This unprecedented appointment of a Commissioner from a different background should surely be a lesson for future appointments, said John. Well, what do you think of that, listeners? Someone from the outside, not the right person to do the job. The discussion before was that every other commissioner came from inside. Were they the people who were best placed to carry out the reform? And it was a huge programme of reform that Drew Harris had to pay. Maybe one of the reasons there needed to be reform is that previous commissioners didn't really do it and didn't really grasp the nettles of problems within an Garda Síochána. This all happening, of course, because the GRA have not invited Drew Harris to their conference. Helen McEntee has been invited. She's been critical of the Garda Representative Association for not inviting him, saying that it's a personalisation of the issues between them. She confirmed she's been invited to attend the conference, but has not said if she will be attending. She also says she regrets the repeated personalisation of the ongoing industrial relations issues, because she believes dialogue and interaction are the only way forward in such situations. This comes, of course, after the GRA Central Executive Committee voted by a two-thirds majority not to extend an invitation to Drew Harris to attend the conference in Westport in Mayo in April to address the delegates. The first time any Garda association has declined to invite a Garda commissioner to the Garda commissioner to its annual conference. So what does that tell you about what's happening?